360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve.
Feel the thunder.
Feel the musky thunder.
Oh, man, Steve, I'm kind of tired.
I was worn out, man.
It's a long day, a long, long day.
Here it comes. You hear that?
What was that?
Delicious.
I'm going to the fridge. Hold on.
Cracking a thunder.
Ah. Oh, baby.
Jason's musky thunder has arrived. My throat is like Stevie Nicks' septum.
It's just, oh, boy, that tastes like victory.
Taste.
I'm ready to go. I am ready to go now. Get the net.
Get the net. The thunder is real, folks. Mm-hmm. For those that doubt it, if you've not seen, I threw it up on the app. I'll probably throw up from the Musky Thunder, but I threw up the Musky Thunder promo little short Jay did. It shows some of the side effects on the app, and it's on the YouTube.
It shows some of the side effects.
Frickin' Tom there at the Musky Shop just tweaking. The problem is, what we're really concerned about, mm-hmm. and it shows off this beautiful can. Jay, mm-hmm. you have a mm-hmm. beautiful can, sir.
Yep.
What do you think of my can, Jay?
I don't know, Steve.
Is it a handsome can?
It's a handsome one, yeah.
What a handsome sure. can. Anyway, mm-hmm. so we got them on the, we got just a little teaser. They got the pictures there on the website. You can find Musky Thunder at www.muskyshop.com.
That's where it is.
That's where it is. Where it's at.
Yeah, like you said, you know, a lot of people were doubting the fact that it was real. It is real.
It's real. Feel the thunder.
It's wonderful.
It's mm-hmm. deadly. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's actually delicious. That's what I think. Anyway, so check it out. He got the freaking little video up there. Had some fun with that. The thing I'll say is this. The kids at the shop, I think that was the best day of their life. Jay cut some of the Musky Thunder. Two of them are in rehab now.
Those guys loved it, man. I said, you know, like Tyler and Noah, I said, hey, would you guys want to have a sword fight with rod tubes in the dumpster? And they're like, yeah. Like they went home that night and they said, Dad, guess what I got paid to do at work today?
Oh, the old guys asked us to fight in front of them.
Shit got weird. Whatever, man.
Good times.
Good times. Great oldies. So, the thunder is real. I'm excited about it. Hey, speaking of the thunder, there is the headlock. Apparently, we got a little bit of the supply chain delay. I was telling you guys we're excited about it, about the old Supernatural. They're on their way.
Yeah, we're still excited about it. It's just going to be about another week, I think. Yeah. We should have it for before the bash.
The joys of shipping. Speaking of before the bash.
Mm-hmm.
Titans, baby. Tighten up.
Yeah.
So, you guys are sick of hearing about Titans. Some of you aren't. So, I'm going to say it one more time because it shook a couple people loose. If you had an EBS problem, you got the sexy crickets.
Equal.
You got the EBS that won't stop or any kind of intrusion or anything. The bait's acting funny, won't do what you want it to do. You were one of the unfortunate ones because somebody at the factory damaged the mold and didn't tell anybody, right? Can you imagine, Jay? You're like, and I don't know who it is. And well, they know who it is.
Someone just went, oops.
Yeah,
and kind of slid it underneath.
Yeah. Not me. No, will anyone notice? It's only a $40,000 mold. You know, it's just like, can you? I don't want to shit on the dude, but if it was me, I'd be like, oh, God, I hope that didn't hurt anything. Let's just see. You know, so it got like a small, it like the tail end, and you don't, like when they paint those things, there's no way to track if it was like the first one off or the last one off. Actually, I have the first one out of the mold, but number two through all the other ones we made, like 5,000, they don't know because they all just end up in one place before they get tested and then frickin' painted. And so somebody, you know, drop something, whatever. So we're Livingston's like doing the awesome thing. If you guys don't know, if you didn't heard like the last podcast, if you have any Titan issues, email Livingston Lures. They're going to take care of you on it. The vast majority of these things are fine. I'm just being hyper conscious of I want you guys to have dope baits. That's it. So they're taking care of it. But we have what I'm excited about, and I mentioned it, is another exclusive color. Right? It's gnarly. I dig it. And it was from talking to some dudes. So we got this pretty kick-ass black perch coming. The other thing that's going on there, I asked for a response, Jay, right? Oh, and one thing I'll say is this. Quick change of subject here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some people that emailed and said there wasn't a podcast last week. I was so freaking busy, I didn't do a thumbnail. I didn't put it on the front of the app, so it was in the podcast, like if you look on the app or if it was your Apple and all this stuff. But a lot of people listen directly from the app. So I'm sorry. There was an episode. You can go to the My 360 and you'll find it at the very top of the Muskie 360 podcast.
Oh,
you
see
what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, because that's where I look for them, because they'll come up first.
I put them on the front.
You
know,
but, yeah. And then on the very homepage.
But, I mean, just in typical fashion, I suck at what I do. And so I didn't do it.
Well, we had to rush that one. I mean, you were like, okay, I got a guide trip in half an hour.
It was like,
and I got to render this thing and then put it on and load it and all that. And
well, and it's just okay. Been busy. I've been to a lot of, it's funny, and we might get a call later. I don't know. I got some calls out. I've been doing a lot of computer stuff lately, Jay.
You have?
Yeah.
What kind of work?
A lot of the ones and zeros, building stuff.
Yeah, like an app or?
I don't know.
Would you call it an app or?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a computer thing is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, there's
computer
it's
things.
What, it's July 1st. There's grumblings of big announcements and, you know, people are doing things and doing computery stuff with involved muskies. I don't know. You know, I've heard grumblings. I actually heard grumblings. There's another muskie app, which is funny.
I heard it was free.
So, free.
But I heard it's awesome.
I don't know. I know nothing about it. I don't own it. I have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
You know, or do I?
Well, I'll tell you what. To be honest with you, Steve, I checked it out more than once today.
Did you?
And there's a lot of great content. It's extremely easily functional.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a way to put it, I guess?
I don't know.
Easy to navigate. Lots of stuff on there.
Uh-huh.
Different tabs at the bottom. Don't forget to look at the tabs in the bottom, because there's like one for articles, one for videos, one for Tackle Box, I think. What was the Tackle Box
thing? I have no clue. I don't look at
it.
I don't look.
You don't look at it.
I have no clue.
Gotcha.
I don't know anything.
Well, I think it looks cool.
I know nothing. You know, whatever. Just. You know, if you don't know what we're talking about, don't worry about it. Kidding, dude. Anyway, so
people are gonna love it.
And hopefully it calls in a minute. Do you guys remember Halloweener-ish time?
I do.
Yeah. I had Greg on.
Greg Thomas.
Yeah, Greg Thomas. Had him on.
And
GT. A lot of people, you know, he and I grew up from each other, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whatever. And so there's been some stuff going on. So there is a new Muskie Hunter app. We'll leave it at that. It's awesome. Check it out. It's free. If you go to the Apple App Store, look up Muskie Hunter Mag, or the Android Store, look up Muskie Hunter Mag. Now, it's not a replacement, or it's a complement in some regards to Muskie 360. They're different, right? You're going to get different flavors. It's Baskin-Robbins, right? And I felt, not that I have anything to do with it. I'm not saying that I do. I'm just, this is my opinion. But I felt that it is a neat deal that there's a couple platforms there that just happen to be in the palm of your hand, where you're going to hear different opinions and different voices, because that's what's important, because it should be about the fish, not the fisherman. And, you know, I may or may not be involved. We shall see. No one knows, Jay. Not even me.
Gotcha.
You know, who knows? Maybe, maybe not. Who cares? Maybe I built it. Maybe I didn't. But I can tell you something that's for certain, Jay.
Tell me.
I built the city on rock and roll.
Oh, I thought it was we built the city, though.
No, no.
You did that, too.
Yes, yes. There is no
we. Starship right there now is going to sue your ass.
There is no we in Jefferson Starship.
Okay.
It's I. Yeah, so more on that later. More on that.
Wow.
Dude, it's not okay. For as much as a dick that some people think I am, do I ever come on here and talk about like myself? I mean, I talk about experiences, but check it out, Musky Hunter. Go to muskyhuntermagazine.com, and your boy Steve did you guys a solid. So you're going to get 30 some years of back articles for free. Stuff will be coming out consistently. And I want you to use them both. Use 360, use Musky Hunter, have a better experience on the water. And the thing I can promise you is both platforms are going to be 100% douchebag free.
Oh, that's nice.
Except for me. So I got to get a pass. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be one. There's got to be one. Why not me? No, we're going to keep, I mean, like, it's the same thing of like, it's going to be cool stuff. I don't know. I hate talking about anything. Like, talk about muskies. That's cool. What do you think, Jay?
Well, summer is here. It's July 1st, and they've been snapping around here. I talked to a lot of guys that have been, not just in the Minocqua area, but the Hayward area and other parts of northern Wisconsin, and a lot of fish caught on bucktails this week. Some surface bait. A little bit of everything. I mean, it's summer, but yeah, one guy did really well. He had 7 fish from Monday through Wednesday. He had 7 fish, nothing huge, but just great action. And he had a great time. A lot of people on vacation. Mind the weather. We're in the midst of like a double cold front right now. So
that might have changed quite a bit, but double cold front.
Yeah. When they say, and a reinforcing cold front will go through around 5 PM, you know, that's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That bodes well. That gets exciting for the fish. Yeah. Well, speaking of catches, man, this is not the cup of tea that I usually drink from, but right up in your neck of the woods, minutes from the musky shop, was the PMTT tournament.
Yeah, Eagle River.
You guys know your old buddy Steve, one of the most prolific tournament anglers of all time. I live for it. I live for tournaments, Jay. What do I say every day when I call you?
Yeah.
It's tournament time, baby.
Tournament.
Every day.
Well, you know, you can find out tournament news on the Musky Hunter app.
Yeah, you could if it, but you don't have to. But anyway.
They had a very successful tournament. There was a huge number of fish caught.
And me and you, like I said, you know, I don't drink for that cup of tea, but I mean, it's just we live, breathe, and eat it. Tournaments.
Yeah.
I'm all over it. But with that being said, interesting subject is what's emerged from this. The folks that won it implemented, and again, me and Jay differ on this, I think. That's why I brought it up. The folks that won it implemented a multiple array of Garmin Panoptix units, right?
Yeah, right.
Jay had voiced to me, and I'll here. You go for it. So here's the deal. Let's summarize for those that don't know. Was it 10 or 11, Jay, that they caught?
They caught 8. Oh. Saturday was a beautiful fishing day,
Let me open up Musky Hunter. I can tell you real quick.
They got 8 fish on Saturday, and they caught 2 fish right away before the weather just took a dump and changed completely late right away. So they got 10 fish in the boat. Saturday into Sunday morning.
Was that one, two, three, the, four, yeah, five, I mean, six,
eight,
seven,
the eight fish eight. Saturday was a record for the PMTT.
It's 10 total, according to the PMTT leaderboard results, brought to you by muskyhunterapp.com, that I may or may not be involved with. Let's just leave names
Musky
out.
Musky Thunder, sorry.
Musky Hunter app is brought to you by Musky Thunder in partnership with Lynn's Truck Center and Freddie Mercury Outboard Palmero's Musky Thunder Rehabilitation Services. So let's keep it, you know, let's keep it as what it is. 10 okay. fish caught.
I just said that.
Right. Did you really? Thank you, Mr. Repeat.
Keep going.
10 fish caught on the Lynn's Trotter Center leaderboard. I'm sorry. Dude, we're retarded. I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
Jay, do you know how many they caught?
They got the leader, the winner's got 10.
10 fish. So there's 10, right?
10 muskies, folks.
10 muskies. And is that a day and a half tournament, I believe?
Yeah.
Which is smoldering, right? This is like
absolutely
shocking, put the diaper on kind of results. An angler that I really like. I love Matt Raley. I don't know his partner, but if he's friends with Matt, he's friends with me. Nate Osfar came in second, right? We're not going to talk about anybody else, but I know Matt's a bad dude, right?
Oh, yeah. So is Nate. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And he's one of those guys, like, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, you better be real confident if you're betting against yourself and Matt Raley.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it just is, you know. So the debate has been Garmin Panoptics in a tournament setting. What's your thoughts, Jay?
Well, the report said they used multiple units. Right. Now, I'm not going with fact here. I heard someone
facts,
said
let's leave the facts out of it, folks.
Well, it's hearsay. So it's like, okay, someone said they had 7 units. It sounds exaggerated to me. I can't see running 7. You said it's possible.
It's possible.
That's crazy.
It's badass. But
apparently the guys drove around and with their electronics and waited till they spotted one and then put her in neutral and casted at it, and sometimes they caught them.
And that's called sharpshooting.
That's what they call it.
Right. So
it's legal. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But a lot of people are on the verge of being upset that it's an unfair playing field.
Right.
For the rest of the people that, A, don't have that equipment, or B, have it and choose not to use it because they're going to fish during the tournament.
Right.
They're going to cast constantly. Okay. So I'm not ripping on the guys. They did a great job.
That was an awesome
achievement.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah. Keep that out of it. You know, absolutely not. That's not what we do here. I just wanted to – and you, I'm not saying that you were, but I want to discuss – So – you had voiced to me earlier in the week, you're not an advocate. That, and you sort of just said what's unfair advantage, right? What's your thoughts? Just honest, like I said, I want to hear it. You're on the spot. What's unfair about that?
Well, I just said, you know, when most of the field doesn't have that equipment.
Okay. Why?
They either choose not to, or they don't want to spend the money, or they don't have the money. It's expensive.
Right. Okay. And?
So, well, a lot of tournaments don't allow live bait. A lot of tournaments don't allow trolling.
Right.
This is also a technique that they're just saying, maybe this should not be legal during tournaments.
Here's my thought.
Go ahead.
Here for what it is. Right. I've not told you this. We agreed to disagree until we're live on air here. Is this the tournament's name? Is what's the name of the PMTT? What does that stand for?
Professional Musky Tournament Trail.
What's the first word?
Professional.
Right. So if I call old Randy Howe that I'm on the Livingston Pro staff with, and he gets his ass kicked by Kevin Van Dam, right? Is he going to blame it on the gear? That's the difference. Ban that shit all you want in the Eagle River Fun Time Funzie tournament.
Bass fishing's different, though. It's a small target.
It's a small... Yeah. No, it's not.
These
not
guys are driving around, and they're going, oh, driving around, and they're like, okay, there he is.
You have to...
There's that one in the 3 acres that we're covering right there. Matter. There he is.
Do you think in a professional bass setting, they're driving around targeting one-pounders?
Nope.
That won't win it. These guys, for better or for worse, brought the heat to this tournament, and you can't... Like I said, professional tournament, you can't complain about the monetary commitment. That's my thing, right? That technology is available to anyone that wants to spend the money on it, whether you have one or you got 55 of them on the boat. But my opinion is, when we're putting the word professional in front of something, right, get ready for Thunderdome. That's big. Okay. That's big.
Yeah,
That's big. That's big league shit, right? If I'm going to listen. I had a guy one time ask me, he said, what's it like being a professional muskie angler? I said, I don't know. Let's ask one and find out.
Yeah, I
you know what I'm saying? But that's my opinion on it. If you are going to, I am in a professional tournament. Because here's the thing.
Live bait fishing's a technique. Trolling's a technique. Sharpshooting's a technique.
Right.
They don't allow the first two, so I'm just saying there's room to debate that they could say.
Well, that's why we're having a debate.
You know, if it upsets that many people, why not, you know, adjust the rules so everybody's happy? You know, there are guys that musky fish for fun, too. Even
not
when they're
anymore.
Tournament fishing.
I had a conversation with Pete Maynard earlier today, right? Mm-hmm. That the crux of that conversation was this stuff used to be fun. I could talk about the culture of musky fishing in a negative light for hours. The everyone is a professional and everybody's important and every fish should be... I'm not going to crawl on this podcast because that's not what we do here, but there's a lot of negative vibes that take the fun out of this sport anyway.
Right? Not for me
either, but I'm just saying. But don't compare apples and oranges, my man. Let's compare frickin', we are talking professional muskie. Professional, right? So for me, in my opinion, they don't allow live bait. Why? Because it's a low skill, right? Live bait is a common denominator. And I think everybody can agree. I'm not demeaning it because I use live bait at times, like suckers, right? But if you put a sucker down and you catch a fish, that might not be the same level as a casting scenario, right? That's generally why they're not allowed in tournaments, correct? Right? He comes by, he eats it, he doesn't. But
I don't know how they look at that.
Well,
I don't know how. Yeah, because it's not just PMTT. I mean,
right.
most tournament.
Yeah.
Most, not all. I mean, there's tournaments in the Northwoods that are strictly, you know, like, you know, no cash involved. So there's
level of stress. Right,
and they're
stop
just like
comparing.
No live bait.
You can't. Yeah, right. You can't. Again, I'm not beating on you, but let's keep it on pro tournament. Right. Which is, again, because this is a big deal, in my opinion. Because what will happen is if we say, no, you can troll in the PMTT, by the way, right?
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so maybe you can, right? Of course. You can troll.
Yeah, I think you can.
I'm not trying to be a dick or something. But okay, so you can troll in that because trolling is a skill, right? Period. It is. And we've talked about in the podcast, it's not just throwing baits behind the boat and brainlessly doing it.
So trolling and casting are allowed. No live bait, because again, live bait is, I'm not saying that it's unskilled, but it's a different game, right? It's more about, we could wax all gun. Let's just leave it out and say it is a less of a skill than maybe a casting bite or a trolling bite alloweth that latitude. So driving around and marking the fish, where do we draw the line? That's where I'm at. Because financially, yes, if you have multiple Panoptix unit, it is a financial commitment, right? I have Panoptix on my boat. It's not something I talk about often because I don't want to make people feel like they have to have it. It is a tool that I will use on occasion. I don't use it all the time, but I'll use it on occasion. With that being said, I don't bring it up in the podcast because I don't need it. I don't have to have it, but it's helpful when things are tough. But what's going to happen is if this continues and there's domination through musky tournament fishing, that everyone will, that is where the sport will go. How can you argue with the results? Right? However, where do you draw the line if you say, let's get rid of Panoptix out of musky fishing? Right? As far as tournaments, the pro level tournaments. If we get rid of Panoptix on the pro level, what's next? Should side scan be gone?
Right. Let's say you've got such a good, and this might be today, it might be a year in the future or whatever. You have downscope, downrange, you know, sonar. Yeah. It's so good that you can detect the size and the species of the bait fish, which might be an incredible aid in contacting muskies. Mm. Is that kind of ranging into that whole live scope kind of territory of being an unfair advantage?
I mean, here's my thought.
Because it's going to happen. We've talked about this before.
That's why we're talking about it, because I love the...
Yeah.
Yeah, me and you, especially not on the podcast, but just between you and I going, of anything I know that's going to change musky fishing, it is Panoptix, for better or for worse. Right? So, yep. But what's the difference, Jay, of... And citing an example. So... These guys, and again, I don't have it on good authority. It's just the thing. Driving around, sharpshooting fish. What's the difference? You see me throw up freaking the field goal's good hand driving around trolling all the time. Here he is. Field goal's good. And the fish hooks up. I can do that trolling with downscan sonar. So at a certain point, should that be not allowed? Should I not be allowed to have a hummingbird because I know how to, I know what a muskie looks like. I know where he's going to be on the water column from looking at the conditions. And I know when I drive over him, I'm about to catch him. There's no difference in my mind opposed to, hey, you know, is what, I think the argument becomes good. What's the skill? And I think the skill becomes data interpretation and knowing how to use your tools that are available to you. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not arguing for the banning live scope tournaments, but I completely understand why a lot of these people are up in arms about it. So,
well, it's just different.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about
it. It's a change. I mean, it's... You know, the reason, and like I said, this is not our usual foray that we get into, right?
It might be so foreign to some people in terms of the whole technique behind it, having to drive around and not cast.
Uh-huh.
Musky fishermen that, cast. You know, are, yeah, I mean, you know, we are of an aggressive nature. You know, most of us were born and raised casting, you know, the whole fish of 10,000 cast type crap, you know? So you take that away and you get somebody driving around with a sandwich in one hand and a soda in the other, where the entire field will be doing that. They might not want to see that happen in the future. You know, it's just, it goes against tradition and people hate change sometimes. So maybe that's part of it.
I really think, and I'll tell you
right now, cause Matt Raley, I read a comment he had, or maybe it was Nate Osfar. They took second. I think they caught three fish. They got one Sunday, and I think they got two Saturday. And they said something about they've got a live scope unit, but they don't use it tournament fishing because just the fact that they don't. You're too dependent, you know, and you've said that a lot of times guiding. It's just like, I am not going to stare at that thing
all day,
you know?
Yeah.
I am guiding people. I am, you know, telling them this, that, and the other thing, positioning them, constantly positioning the boat.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is a good shoreline. This break is excellent. Yep. There's bait down it. Not looking at the scope, trying to, well, you can explain it better. Every day, but
well, in there's a balance, but I don't care either way because dude, the reason we're talking about this, and again, Jay, you're not wrong and you're not right, and neither am I, right? That's why I wanted to have the conversation. The world is different now. And I told you that. I literally predicted this. I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I know I've told you and I've told a couple of my friends. It will happen. Somebody's going to win a tournament in the muskie fishing realm using Panoptics and is going to be like, hello.
I'm pretty sure you said that exactly, and we talked about that last summer or early fall. Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And Jim, like I was talking to Jim at Muskie Shop, and we were talking about it last summer when we were fishing, and I said, this is what is going to happen, and it will be the debate. And in its application, it's what you want to do. I mean, for me, if it boiled down to it, the only fair muskie tournament ever would be on a lake none of them guide on, right? You know, you don't want to fish against... So here's a guy that guides this lake every day and you're coming from out of town. That's not fair. The only way to have a fair muskie tournament is everyone has a camp boat, right? Because if you start cutting into the electronics, you go, well, it's too much money. You go, well, the guy that has a Ranger versus the guy that has a John boat, right? So if there was going to be fairness, and I joke all the time about tournaments or whatever, but in all seriousness, would be if you wanted to have a fair muskie tournament, it would be all the boats are the same. All the electronics are the same. They're exceptionally basic, and we're basing this on
NASCAR
stock.
Right.
But we're basing this on what's important. Is it your acumen with electronics, which is, trust me, my acumen with electronics catches me a shit ton of fish, period. But my acumen with patterning, reading the weather, and reading that up to the second conditions also catch me a lot of fish. So the debate is not about have or have not. And I think a lot of people are looking in a mindset that this is money and electronics and something that's an unfair advantage versus two schools of thought.
It's almost like the advent of artificial intelligence. Yep. You know, people are really scared of technology, really, when it boils down to it. There's a natural fear of it.
Yep. And you know, and it's that, well, this is not this or this is not that. And in no way, shape, or form, just to put it out clearly, and Jay will attest and back me up on this, in no way, shape, or form am I attempting to diminish the accomplishment of those guys winning that tournament, period.
Yeah, they rolled in from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I believe it was their first time on that water. And... That's impressive.
So, you know, and we're not, like I said, it's just a conversation of, I think, the state of where we're at, where with all things, I mean, coming from the music industry in some regard, right? When I started working in that business, there was no auto tune, right?
Well, better example would be, when I started in the 80s, I mean, everything was analog.
On physical tape.
Tape. Yeah. On right. physical tape. And it's just like, stuff better be perfect because otherwise you're going to have
no way to fix it.
Re-record. There's no way to fix it. And then somewhere in the 90s, I mean, I was in Smart Studios and stuff. I was with, I was around Butch Vig when he got back. I talked to Butch Vig when he got back after
that's
recording
a known,
Nevermind.
That's a little known Jay Bird factoid. Yeah.
It's just a great story. I mean, he told me, you know, the first time they played It Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah, in rehearsal and
for
stuff.
For you
and
guys
like,
that don't know.
He goes, play that again.
For those of you that don't know, because you're always quiet about stuff when you try to be. So Butch Vig who produced Nirvana, is from Madison, and you used to work with him all the time, which is cool as awesome. You know, I mean, how badass is that? That's like, you know, amazing. But like you said, that technological shift, right?
And when they went to, and it, this is early 90s, they went to, the whole system changed, and people were very, very hesitant about, what do you call it? What was the first stage of that? And,
what?
Computer recording.
Well, there was a very primitive version of Pro Tools.
Not Pro Logic. Pro Tools, no, I think, was very, the first
And that's still industry standard, but I mean, we're talking back to freaking.
Well, this was coming in, and they were just starting to, he was starting to do this band Garbage, and they had, they were very secretive of it. They wouldn't play anybody anything. And anyway, that was in the early stages of that, but they were doing that all on computer, but yet they still had the console and the tape, and everyone was being recorded on tape. And it was, that was the transition time. And it's like,
well, that
everybody that was in that, dude, you know, they were very fearful of this recording on a computer.
Amazing, amazing analogy there, where you just said there was this point, because like, if you looked at, like you're saying, Butch Vig, or, oh goodness, just so many other people, there was a time frame where we were dealing in the analog and the digital at the same time. Which is like, for you guys that don't, maybe, and again, where you only know what you know. So me and Jay talk music business because we both worked in it at some point. But that's the same as you look at your grandma's house and you go, Grandma, you've got a freaking DVD player sitting on top of your VHS player. And there was a time when you could buy a DVD VHS combo, right?
Oh, sure.
And now you can't even buy a freaking DVD hardly. So the technology changes, and I think in muskie fishing, we're just at the we're standing at the edge of, whoa, this is different.
I think so. Yeah, right.
This is different. And we all have to sort of, classic, make an assessment. We have to make an assessment and go, where's this going? And where do we want it to go? Now, I'm not the person to make that decision. I'm not, I joke and I tease, I'm not a big tournament angler by any means, but, you know, it's not my judgment call to make, but it'll be interesting to see what the judgment that is made is, because that sets a slight tone, right? Where when I say like Kevin Van Dam or Randy Howe, That's balls to the wall pro muskie angle, or excuse me, pro bass fishing. That's an arms race, dude. Everybody, you know, muskie fishing and all these big boats and all these guys, we're going to take off from the hole. That's stealing it from bass fishing, where it is a arms race of, if you don't have a 300 and a boat that'll do 80, 90 miles an hour, you're nothing, right? So,
and the same goes, you know, for their electronics right now that they're currently employing in tournaments. It's just absolutely critical for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking. I really don't know.
Well, the guys that have Garmin on their boats have been doing very well. You see Lowrance has come out with their stuff. Hummingbird has a version now, and it's an arms race. And the interesting thing is this, and I've heard guys say it, and I've read, I'm not talking like internet comments, that bullshit. I'm talking about like, sort of an op-ed of like, this is the commentary, is it was, if you didn't have Panoptix, you're in big trouble. And then you got Lowrance, and if you got that, and if you didn't have Hummingbird, so it's an arms race on that end of the thing. And the guys that are implementing are just crushing it. They're crushing it in ice tournaments and yada, yada, yada. But people go, well, it shouldn't be allowed. Well, you go, who sponsors these tournaments? Some of the biggest sponsors of bass fishing tournaments are the electronics companies and boat companies.
Sure.
Hummingbird's everywhere. Minn Kota, Hummingbird, Lowrance, Garmin. It's big money. It's you know, Jay, me and you laugh sometimes. Corporate muskie fishing. Are you kidding me? There's nothing like, the muskie shop has been accused, oh, it's big business. It's like mom and pop, Jim Stewart store, supporting the lives of about 20 people. You know, it's not big business. But you look at some of these legitimate companies that are big, they're owned by companies that are publicly traded or publicly traded themselves. Whoa. You know, that's money that is so far in excess of muskie fishing. And so it sort of opens the floodgates to whether it be the peanut gallery, that thought process of where will muskie fishing go? And I'm sort of waiting to see that. And that decision is going to weigh heavy on the head of the guy that's got to make it. Of what do we do? Because that sort of sets the tone of this. This is where we are going as a sport. This is what is going to be acceptable. Right. My, again, devil's advocate was if I'm going to dip my toes into the word professional, then I need to understand that the equipment allotted to me in electronics is limitless. Right. Because some of us in the muskie industry are endorsed by electronics companies. Not many, but some of us. And so how do you differentiate between somebody that's a sponsored fisherman and how can you call somebody that's sponsored non-professional? You can't disqualify for them from that. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm drawing that mental line, Jay, that block?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, if you're a pro, you're a pro. No holds barred. But that's my thing of like there. And again, I'm not saying that and chortling about it in a ho-ho way, but I'm going, there's a line where we just as a sport go, this is what we're going to do or what we're not going to do. I, for one, say use it. I don't know.
Use it while you still can.
Well, y'all, whatever.
It's legal.
It's live. I'll tell you. If I wouldn't enter a walleye tournament without that stuff. It's ridiculous.
Do you think, here's a question. Okay. Yeah. Like PMTT does what, 4 or 5 tournaments a year? Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wide variety of lakes. Every state's probably different.
Right.
I don't think there's any two in any. Is that stuff going to work equally as well?
Yes.
In any situation?
Yes.
Do you think most guys could make it work?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Tell me.
Yes. Yes, every time.
There you go. Every time.
Every time.
Hmm. You can apply that to your particular, completely different body of water. Eagle River chain, for those who don't know, is kind of river orientated.
Right.
You know, shallow, dark, shallow. I mean, 20 feet deep in that chain for the most part. And so it can be kind of weedy and all that. And then I know that PMTT has stops on some deep clear lakes too.
Well, let's do a run. Let's say we go Cave Run, Eagle River, and what's the next one? I don't know.
I'm not sure year.
I can look.
I think they did Minnetonka last year, and didn't they do Leech Lake?
I can look at the Muskie Hunter app and tell you what the next third.
Okay.
What is this? Third round? Is this PMTT?
Muskie Hunter app comes up really quickly.
It does. Late Summer Showdown. Cass
Lake.
Okay, dude.
Ooh.
Did we use it on Cass? We did. So, I guarantee I could, you know, I'm not saying like a win, but could you implement that same stratagem on Cave Run and then on the Three Lakes chain and on Cass? Abso-frickin-lutely.
I think if you can do it on Eagle River chain, the most other lakes, it would be actually easier. Be successful with it once you know your equipment.
So, like I said, I mean, me and you are such good friends, we can have a fun debate about it. You know, it's, I don't think neither of us are like married, I don't think, to the opinion, but you know, play devil's advocate on either way. I mean, if they outlaw it in a tournament, I'm not going to be mad about it. I don't care. You're not going to catch me dead there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to look at because, like I said, that sets the tone for future tournaments. It sets the tone for guiding. It sets the tone for a lot of things. It's not a decision I want to have to make. Whether that was something that is like, this is what we're going to do. Because my buddy Tim from the Netherlands, dude, sharpshooting pike is a thing. Drive over.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Drive around with that stuff, find a pike in open water, drop a swim bait down in front of his face, bam-o, whammo, he's in the net.
Hmm.
You know, it's just a different tactic. So, I don't know. We've beat that horse to death, winny-ninny. You know,
Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
It is.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, I don't think they're going to act quickly. I don't think they can act quickly on it. I mean, I think at least the rest of the year they're going to keep it, but put it on the back burner for next year and have require more input from other anglers.
See where she goes. Well, if nothing else, it's time for another delicious, refreshing musky thunder.
Feel the thunder.
I can't feel my teeth. All right. First up is Fred. Fred says, "Hey, Jay Bird, I fish the Northwood quite often, but I'm not very successful at muskie fishing. I was wondering if you could tell me if if crappies are eating jigs, will there be active muskies in the area, or the active crappies a sign that muskies are not near? So if there's actively feeding crappie, what's going on there? Are they scared? Is there if you're catching crappies, is there a muskie right there or not?" He asked you. You're the crappie master.
I am the crappie master?
He asked Jay.
That sounds like a question to ask Fred Mercury Palmero.
Fled.
Piazza. Fled.
It's a pizza.
Well, I can't tell you how many times when I've been muskie fishing, I've been nearby anchored musky fishermen with crappie minnows that are like, this happened actually two or three times where guys are like, "You should fish over here. We just had a musky come up and take our crappie," you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say if you got a sunken tree off of a shoreline and there's crappie fishermen on there and they start hammering them, I bet there's an active musky in the area. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Well, it's just one of those things of like, I've seen things.
It's a food chain thing.
The food chain where, like, if a muskie rolls in and he's looking to eat, that'll shut the active bait fish, if you will, or the sunfish, crappie, bass down. But I've always thought the activity draws in predators no matter what.
That's interesting because you know how that is. You know, it's like if you're pan fishing and all of a sudden it does shut down. And then, you know, it's the consensus is time to move,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the next spot. So it's like, did an apex predator, like apex a muskie, just roll in there and start slaughtering them? Could be.
All other fish are bait.
That's musky. Right.
Apex.
Apex.
Apex. I fish for the apex predator.
Alpha male muskie.
I fish for the alpha male of the water to fill the void in my soul. I feel empty inside and useless if I didn't fish for the apex predator.
That's right.
That's right. That's almost Todd and Dave of like,
write that down.
These guys, apex predator. And then they go home and they just kind of cry to like Golden Girls.
I didn't get nothing.
Freaking sew as many things to their shirt as they can. I'm endorsed by Strinline. I fish for the apex predator. Whatever. We used to call them patch boys back in the day, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Patch
right.
boy. How many patches you got on your shirt?
You got the old satin jackets when those things were cool back in the 80s. Absolutely. Cotton Dave era.
When Todd and Dave were hot on the water of like, this just like, oh God, that was the day. And it still happens now, like the days of, you know, my entire self-worth comes from if I caught a fish or not, which is kind of sad.
It probably is.
There's a lot of them where I go, oh man, that is sad stuff. Now there's something to be said about other fish. I mean, they will shut down if they're getting hammered on. I like being in any area that there's active anything. You know,
it makes sense.
Can sort of suss out the food chain. Mitch, when would you transition to open water during midsummer? Is there always an open water bite during this time, or is it based on weather and water conditions? Ugh. I think that's based on what body of water you're fishing more than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like when it comes to open water bite, which I equivalent more to like Shad and Cisco systems. But even your Northwood stuff will have open water.
Yeah, on lakes that don't have Cisco's or Shad, which we don't have. We don't have Shad. Right, right.
I like it. I mean, I like open water on the cold fronts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things dropping out past that first break, and then you get into this arbitrary zone. You know, he's saying when in midsummer, when it's cruddy, if it ain't happening on the edges, and I'm not saying like right on the tight weed, but, you know, if you're structure fishing and it's not cracking, a lot of times you need to make sure you're making that nature cast on every spot, or at least a few of them, and get out in the open water and see if they sort of show themselves. That would be my thing. Anyway, what's your thought? We've talked, you know. Open water is just one of those tricky things that is, again, yes, there'll be an open water bite, caveat being lake to lake.
You know? Well, it kind of begins for me after, I mean, if you're thoroughly past the post-spawn period, do it.
Do
Go
it.
For it. Figure it out.
Right. But is it a... And then to me, like, there's like, we're fishing edges in structure. Like, so there's the typical, I fish weed edge, check. Then there's the guy that fishes weed edge and he fishes the structure elements, check. And then there's the guy that trawls the outside rim of a lake or an edge, check. And then there's like these fish that are out over 20 feet of water orientated to nothing. Right. We were talking about panoptics earlier, side scan. That's the easy way to find those guys.
Yeah.
Hate to say it, but open water fish. Look for them. The trope has always been look for open water bait fish and you'll find muskies. And that usually holds true. Tanner, what is both of your favorite bucktail brands and why? Jay, go for it.
I don't have one favorite. I can't say that. That would be go against my career.
Yeah. You. Oh, never mind. That is tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Jay orders them all. Yeah.
I order them all. Yeah. I mean, everything from, you know, Mayhem to Booker to Frenzy to Maps. It's like there's so many large manufacturers, large in the musky scope of things, that have a plethora of different options to meet your every need.
I'll interject.
Go for it.
My favorite bucktails are the ones I make myself.
Tailored to specific needs. I need this one heavier. It needs to run a foot deeper than this one. It needs to have one blade. It needs to be a heavy blade. It needs to be... It needs to have a Steve Paul trailer on it. A super duper trailer. You know, there you go.
You know, I've never met a bucktail I didn't want to cut up and change something about.
Yeah, right. I've seen it happen, folks.
Sorry, I got a beep there, Jay. Creaker Supreme says, how often do you make directional changes while trawling? Is it a speed thing, a lure thing, a seasonal thing? Jay, it's kind of all things, isn't it? It's just like...
I've watched you run the boat trolling. Yeah, there's quite a few quite often.
Yeah, I mean... The colder the water, the less often I'm doing it. Really?
Okay.
You know, I'm not necessarily. It's just like speed. Speed's a relative subject. So, you know, you're asking directional changes. Obviously, speed is going to dictate that. So you can't make that many directional changes when you're going slow. So. The faster and erratic is a warmer water thing, slower and a little more plotty in the cold weather. But still adding it in as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're trolling, you'll feel it like, okay, I'm on the break I want to be on. Then I'm going to get off and then I'm back on. Boom, boom. So let that dictate it. Now with lure choice. Some lures corner better than others and some dig in and pop up better than others. You know, I'm a headlock matlock man. They pretty much take the abuse all the time. The grandma M9s or the Rachels, squeaky Pete's, you know, they're going to do it. So you can get away with as much as you want, but if we're trolling small stuff, not quite so much, right? Because a lot of times to get to depth, smaller lures take more line and it doesn't corner as well. It doesn't have that same dramatic effect. So, you know, when you're saying is it a speed or a lure thing, it's a speed thing in the correlation of how much line. It's more of a line than a lure thing, right? The more aggressive the lip is, the deeper it goes on a shorter line versus a small lure that we need more line to achieve depth. which means you have less rod tip boat turn control in some instances. Makes sense?
You know, that
would be it. I don't know. Let's do one more here. It's been a long week for old Steve doing staring at the internet, doing internet-y things. Nothing to do with another app. I have nothing to do with it. Do not download Musky Hunter. Do not download it. Horrible. Horrible. Nobody wants that. You would
it's
not,
free, though, Steve.
You would not have the power of the world in your hand if you had Musky Hunter and Musky 360. You wouldn't have everything you ever need to know in the hand, in the palm of your hand if you have both of those. For free. Don't do it. Don't do it. Carl.
Kind of like reverse psychology. Go ahead.
What?
Uh-huh.
I didn't. Reverse psychology. Who would have thought of such a thing, Jack?
Well, I don't know.
You know? Are you Carl Jung? Carl. I fish a Tannic Lake in North Woods. With this darker water, does light penetration ever play a role in musky locations in these Tannic Lakes? I have typical things that most would look for, rocks, weeds, some moderate timber and cribs, but they are musky staging. I'm paraphrasing here. Musky staging deep, shallow. Are they always going to be up high when it's tannic water? Ooh, man. Tannic, if you've never seen it, Jay, explain tannic water for those of us that don't have never seen it or don't see it.
Well, there's a few lakes around here that have, I think it's due to some the mineral content of some of these creeks that flow into them.
And, you know,
there's
the one tannic, lake in particular. The tannic acid from the pines.
Yeah.
So they call it tannic. Sorry.
Yeah. Extremely dark water, mm-hmm. You know, where it's almost black. It's not even brown anymore. It's very low visibility, you know, under 6 inches type stuff. That's mm-hmm. Some crazy coffee like water. So there's a few lakes like that around here, and they you know, the weeds don't grow very deep. There's no sunlight penetration beyond mm-hmm. A few feet. So, you know, some of these lakes might only have weeds growing to 4. So that'll play a part with location of bait fish and muskies and all that.
Well, there you go. So you have essentially, hold on, sorry, I was looking at something here. You essentially have water that, like you said, looks like coffee, dark brewed coffee. The light's not going down, so the heat's not permeating as much. But it seems like, to me, that those darker waters hold the heat. There's heat retention with that. So they'll heat up really fast. And like I said, just to explain to people, if you haven't seen it, it's not muddy. It's just dark colored water. It is coffee colored water. I think the light penetration plays a huge part in that, because I've always been successful in really shallow water on any tannic fishery I've been on up there, right? Shallow weeds, because I don't, like you said, great point, is the weeds are not going to grow that deep because the littoral zone's limited by light penetration, so everything's going to be on edges. So, yeah, it plays a role. I mean, he's asking, does it play a role? Yes, 100%. I think you can eliminate depth on those tannic waters because it's going to be... They can hang shallower because light on a clear body of water... Muskies are going to run deeper on bright sunny days, but they don't have to go as deep to get out of the light in this stuff. Does that make sense, Jay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that would be it. I don't know. There you go. There you go. One more. Why not? Nathan. Hey, guys, got a question. Long email, so I apologize. Bear with me. As I wanted to get all the info so you guys could make an assessment. Last week I was out fishing before a very short front came through. Nailed one on a 700 booker tail. And missed one shortly after. The fish porpoised behind the bait. Now, when I went to give it a short burst of speed to elicit a strike, Stephen's cat squeaked through my... Sorry.
What?
He said, when I went to give it a burst of speed to elicit a strike, Stephen's cat started squealing through my headphones, and the blade popped out of the water. I was laughing. He said, funniest segment in a long time. Now back to the question. I tried coming back to that fish as I kept fishing. I got no response from it or any other. Switched between the blade, twitch shallow raiders, ran baby depth raiders a bit through the rest of the day, and no more action. What is your move when a fish is lit up and okay, when the fish light it up and are done as fast as a small weather front thing came through. You know. Oh, he also continues to say, sorry, this is a long email. Legend has it Jim Stewart made his Minocqua Mud black coffee can into the first ever Musky Thunder. So,
yeah, I don't doubt it.
No, the Minocqua Mud from last year. The Minocqua Mud at the Musky Shop is a real thing. You drink the coffee there, you're going to feel it. Not like you're going to feel the Musky Thunder. So here's the deal, man. A lot of times you're just done. I mean, I've said it before, musky fishing is 10 hours of suffering for 10 seconds of excitement. When the window's over, a lot of times it's over. Now, you can grind it out and grind out another bite, but that was the hot moment of the day or for that time period. You got to capitalize when you can. I mean, I just had a trip with another podcaster. Actually, two. Shout out Dalton and Rocky. And then I did the exact same thing 2 days later with another podcaster, Tom, right? Same spot, literally the same rod, the same reel, the same bait, the same knot, same size class of fish. Those trips were like movie Groundhog's Day. They were identical, miserable, nothing, boom. Giant fish, boom, nothing else. That was it. And we ran the play. We made an assessment. We did the right things all day long and waited for the muskies to cooperate. So you get your window and you're out. And you know it. And you go, you know, I've put 6 hours in and all hell broke loose and now it's over with. The timer is reset often. Right now, let's say it's a midday front and you know, it happens at 2 o'clock and you get a fish or you see some fish. Well, sundown mightn't be your next thing. It's going to be that next major change, right? Low light period, weather front, wind picks up, looking for those changes. But man, that's what we're all waiting for. And you can grind them out. Now, let's say we got some hot activity. The next move for me to try to get something happening outside of these, maybe it's a solar lunar, maybe it's weather, maybe it's the sunrise, sunset, like I said, everything else is going to be grinding low and slow, right? So I want to be focused on fishing hot when the fishing is hot and fishing low and slow when it's not. So don't stick with the hot thing. Don't stick with the hot speed. Make an assessment that you go, it's over. And it's hard to admit that it's over. And you go, yeah, it sucks. But it's over. Move on and go to your low and slow. Go to your grindy patterns, right? And then always be looking for the hot bite. That make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, admit it's over, Jaybird. Say goodnight.
Good night.
Later.